Blog Talk Radio.
Poetry. I hope everyone's doing well. I hope you had a great week, and I hope you have a better weekend to follow, as always. And hey, Kate. Hey, Pam. How are you both?
Hello, my dear. How are you?
If I was
doing
any better, I'd be
at home.
Nice.
Double trouble.
God help you all if that happens. Oh, my gosh. My mother always said to me, I went through all my younger years, my mother would say, you know, you should have been twins. But good Lord, you don't know what to do with one of me. What would you do with two? You know? And it just always stuck with me. So.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. You're right. So, let's see now. What were you guys up to today? Anything? Weaver, what did you do today? Well,
today,
I don't know.
Yeah,
today was your tonight, or last night, wasn't it, or something? I don't know. I can't keep it straight.
I find it very difficult, too, because people say good morning, and it's the middle of the afternoon for me. And I go, oh, whatever. I don't care. Yeah, I'm working on my biggest macrame wall hanging I've ever made. It's huge.
Oh, yeah?
And I'm starting
nice.
It. Yeah, I've got it all cut out and put on the piece of wood that's going to be hanging on. So that's my next project, a huge wall hanging.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. Fun.
Very nice. Well, I hope you take a picture and show it to us all.
I will.
Very
I'll definitely
good.
Do.
Very good. Nice, nice. Now, Pam, what's up with you? How was your day?
My day was good. Nothing particularly exciting, just good.
What do you mean nothing exciting? I sent you that squirrel stew.
Oh, yeah, which I hadn't got to try
today,
yet.
Anyway. I think it was today. It might have been yesterday. Who knows? Oh my gosh, I don't know. But, yeah, what a crazy day. Oh, it was just, I don't know, my day was crazy. Whiskey crap. But I got some stuff done, so I couldn't complain. It's all good. It's all good. So, yeah, so let's see. There's three of us. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. Who could waltz? Isn't that the 1, 2, 3? Waltz.
1, 2, 3. 1, 2. Oh, how we danced on the night we were wed. And I won't say anymore.
Darn, I was just getting into the tune. Thanks a lot, Weevil.
You should be grateful I stopped.
No way. My daughter was doing something tonight. She said something. And I turned around and started singing Glory, Glory, Hallelujah. And she's looking at me because I'm really belting that out. And she's looking at me. I said, hey, it's your fault. You started this. I forget that what she said. I said, you know, sometimes I just have to be this way. She goes, Mom. That's where my life is. My poor kids. They never know what's coming. Hey, let's see. I did speak with Rex a little while back, earlier, maybe an hour or two or three ago. I called just to see if he was all right. I told him I'd call him on Sunday when I talked to him on Wednesday. I think it was a Wednesday. And then I realized, well, how rotten is that? You know, the guy's feeling bad, and then you don't even call to see if he's all right. So call him to see if he's all right. He's doing all right. You know, he's got a nasty cough. But he got to get out and get some sunshine today. So that's it was in the dish wreck. He said it was 84 there today. God bless him. 84.
Wow.
We're lucky if we're getting anywhere near 60 around here. But that's good for him because he can get outside and get the fresh air. And he's not stuck in the inside with all the breathing in all that junk again and again and again.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. And anybody who didn't hear it, Rex has COVID. I don't know. He must have got it from one of the other girls. Babbler and Faison and all that. He must have got it from them. He's turning the barrel. So I'm keeping track of him a little bit anyway. And I'm glad he's feeling all right. Well, not all right, but, you know, hanging in there. Anyway.
Yeah, well, give him all my best wishes. Give him all my best wishes and a hug.
There you go. I'll do that. I will do that. Yeah. I don't know. So anyway, let's see now. I don't know. We have a nice board tonight. We do. It looks like an interesting mix of poetry, which is always good. And, yeah. So I'll tell you what. Pam, do you want to start the poems off with reading this one for me by Ben Hart?
Sure.
Don't be so excited now, Pam. It's not a personal Ben. I think she's half asleep or half tired or something. It's all good. And Ben does his get well wrecked. Okay, Pam, whenever you're ready. It's called Julia's Don't Die For Me.
Julia, Don't Die For Me by Ben Hart. No masters of tangled strings strangling my fingers. No fervid lover of the sore sight of her goodbye. Forever in a second, may her head pulling away from mine. My hands fail to catch her hair. They're too tangled up in strings. Her eyes opened only just enough for me to spot something sequestered. Questions never asked for a lack of original answers. Sometimes it's better to leave a love alone, but I still hope for her boot on my door, her face drifting between all the other faces, my head in my hands alongside my heart. All of our melodic memories become blunt needles. They stab and dig and drive down. They gnaw and knit my flesh, my knees on slabs of stolen stone. I chase so many faces, hoping for yours, not for a kiss or a swing, not for a talk or even a word. A look is enough. One more look in your eyes from passing ships for all I care. All I need for hope is a glimpse. Reality is not diminished if unspoken. Dreams are not real when my eyes are open. Why are you so sharp? Why are you trembling? In love, is love warm enough for now? Is love hotter than our descend? Are you real if your name escapes me, but if your eyes identify, define what words could not divine, design, or a hungry heart? Shadows beneath a streetlight in line and single file behind, a specter breaks away, around again alone. Silence strikes, rain has rested long enough, like doves they shoot away beneath paper parasols. One face stays to face the rain and brings her eyes upon the one that broke away. No kiss, no swing, no leap into my arms, no talk, no words, no awaited embrace. Silent steps ripple streets, streetlight trickles down lips. No hellos or foregone goodbyes, but her head pressed upon mine, my hands at rest in hers. Her breath streams across my skin. I whisper her 1,000 times good night before I close my eyes. I have seen beauty in the deep, how fair the bleak can be, if we dare to do our best and look long enough at what we see. Maybe even fall in love every day again, before we even dare to breathe. Dearest Julia, do not die in darkness for your paramour alive, even if you cannot live for love. End poem.
Nice read, Pam. Nice read. Yeah.
Right, that was beautifully read.
Yeah.
Yes, that was beautifully read. Thank you very much. So, Phil, would you like to comment on this?
I would love to comment on this. I'm just trying to soak it all in. There's so much going on here, and wonderful words. Ben has a wonderful way of writing, and his work is, it always has an impact in what he's trying to express. I look and I, reality is not diminished if unspoken. Dreams are not real when my eyes are open. Why are you so sharp? Why are you trembling? Is love warm enough for now? Is love hotter than our descent? Are you real if your name escapes me? But if your eyes identify, define what words could not divine design for a hungry heart. Wonderful questions, wonderful thoughts here. And it just feeds down. And I have to say, I really love this last stanza. So kind of captivating. You know, you start to read it and you just have to keep going. And it affects you. You know, it draws an emotion. And I think that's what I like the most about it, what makes me feel. So wonderful job, Ben. And I want to thank you for sharing with us this excellent piece.
Thank you. Thank you, Phil. Now, Pam, you read this. Would you like to tell us what you were thinking?
I don't really think when I'm reading, but I'll tell you what I thought after I was done reading.
No, that would do.
There you go.
This is my first time, so be gentle with me. This is my first time in leaving comments. I've never done it before, and I didn't mean to say that, and I was hoping that nobody would notice. But please tell me what you think.
Well, I'm sure a lot of people do think when they're reading. I thought this is, as always with all of Ben's poems, I thought they were beautifully written. I like the imagery and the metaphors, the strong emotional impact. I like how it speaks on the idea of wanting to reconnect with someone, even if it's just for the briefest of times. But at the same time, it's like with the end stanza, realizing that, you know, you have to move on with your life, that, you know, love isn't worth, you know, throwing yourself at somebody's feet or, you know, dying for. I really like the stanza that says, "What they gnaw and knit my flesh." You know, wonderful lines there all the way through and just very well done.
Thank you. I'm going to do a Rex. I'm going to take a completely different look at this. And my heck is like, that's never going to happen. I thought it was beautifully done. I really enjoyed it. And I do like Ben's work. I think it's so clean and neat. And it tells you exactly what he's trying to tell you, which is also wonderful. But yes, I really enjoyed it. And that, yeah, they know and knit my flesh, my knees on slabs of stone. That I like that a lot. I chase so many faces hoping for yours. Ah, you can imagine that if you're completely besotted by somebody. You keep thinking you see them in a crowd and it's heart-wrenching when it's not them. Mm-hmm. But yes, I thought it was absolutely delightful. And thank you for sharing it with us, Ben.
Well, I guess I'm supposed to do something now. Damn, I'm so behind on the times here.
If you like, just sit back, don't worry.
That's crazy. Okay, Kate, I'm going to put this one up for you to read. And this is Creature Within by Hope Soul.
Thank you. Lovely. Yes, I've got that. Give me a second to get it open. Creature Within. There is an emptiness that howls deep inside the chambers of my chest, housing a lonesome figure. La Llorona wails, peering behind jail cell bars of solitary confinement, beyond chalky bruised ribs, chewing at the cartilage inside Nia Corosan, sulking in the abyss. Guadalupe, rivers of grieving, curves and forms canals through white bones, creating valleys of muerte. Memories foster lurking apparitions, all the taunting bleeds out the spectres of my youth. White lantern orbs reflected haunted cemetery urns and vaults, whisper crisp grey ashes from dark soot smoked trauma. All that feed this death-shrouded bruise you who eat 3 square meals a day of my agony, tossed carcasses of mother, father, sister, brother, lovers, pick your gnarly teeth with the illusions of magicians' timestamps, recollections twisted to perpetuate the narcissism. Sixpence to suffocate the lethal dose, shine the morning light, asking if a more perfect dawn will eclipse blood moons of embargo, chain the creature within, use rusted iron oxide meat hooks, orange kissing brown metals to drag out the beast who resides in me. End poem.
Nice read.
Thank you. Okay, thank you. Phil, would you like to comment on this, please?
Me? Already? I'm only kidding.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm only kidding. Don't get upset. I thought you did a wonderful job with this. And I have to say, I enjoyed this whole first stanza. Everything was good, but this one, it just really, the mood, but the pace, you know, there's an emptiness that howls deep inside the chambers of my chest, causing a lonesome figure, La Llorona, wail, peering behind jail cell bars and solitary confinement. And I could read on down to that, but I think Kate just read that, so I'm going to cut everybody a break. But I think that this was just very well described, and I think that it really did draw me into the rest of the poem. And very well done. You know, I was going to read something else, but I'll leave something for Pam, but she probably said everything on there. She reads again. But it's a wonderful job, and a nice. It's a dark light, and it really resonates with things, you know, a type of internal thought. So, yes, nice one, nicely done. So, and nice work, Muna, with the artwork. Well done.
Yes, I agree. The artwork's wonderful. Thank you. Pam, your thoughts?
Yeah, I thought this had amazing imagery and metaphors. So a wonderful dark right that spoke on the idea of the monster within that is caused by betrayal and pain. I like that she brought La Llorona in that used that story as an extended metaphor in the first stanza. But I especially like sixpence to suffocate the lethal dose, shine the morning light, asking if a more perfect dawn's will eclipse blood moon of embargo. Wonderful lines and very well done.
Thank you. Yes. This is, again, another beautiful piece of work. I really enjoyed it. That second stanza, I think it is, white lantern orbs reflecting haunted cemetery urns and vaults, whisper crisp grey ashes from dark soot to smoke to trauma. All that feed this death-shrouded, and I can't say that word correctly. I do apologise for stumbling over some of the words because I didn't quite know how to pronounce them, so my apologies. But I'm sure most people do. Those is shrouded bruja, who eats 3 square meals a day of my agony. Now, you see, that, I really love that. That is so dark. But basically, there's so much pain that it's just spilling out because everybody's gone by the look of it. Everybody. Yeah, so I just thought it was beautifully, beautifully written, and that artwork was very good as well. So thank you so much for sharing.
Okay, give me 2 seconds to. I have to answer a question.
No problem at all. It's all right.
I have nothing. Can't help it. But anyway, I'm almost there.
That's okay. I can't speak and type. In fact, I can't type. I'm absolutely terrible. So take your time. No problem.
Don't make it too easy on me, because I could not often take a nap. Okay, the next piece I'm going to put up is by Darkened Auras, and it's called A Single Feather Fall. And I'm going to give this one a read. So, let me... I think you're going to leave it. Should I say that stuff? A single Feather Falls by Darkened Auras. A single feather falls, as ominous as the darkened sky, drenched in a crimson, as bright as the rising sun. The war is finally over now, but so much damage has been done. A once beautiful meadow, as far as the eye could see, with flowers all in bloom, is now a final resting place of 100,000 souls trapped in their death's disgrace. A sole survivor stands there. Her wounds are showing strong, with barely enough strength. The archer stands upon a hill, looking out the horizon as everything is still. Death beckons unto her as she remains a waning soul. She screams out in intense pain as the grim reaper calls, taking her life with a whisper as a single feather falls.
Oh, that was beautifully read. That was really lovely. And that picture is so haunting. Pam, your thoughts on this, please.
Oh, this is a wonderful, wonderful poem with a beautiful flow of imagery. I like how it has a really haunting feel, and all the way through, it's nicely written. But I have to say, what really stood out to me was the play of words with a soul survivor stands there, spelling soul, S-O-U-L, instead of S-O-L-E. I think that great when when people play with words, and when you have that duality of meaning, the idea of being a ghost and being a ghost of somebody who just doesn't, it seems almost as if she feels lost, so wonderful right and very well done.
Yes, yes, I agree with that. Lovely sentiment. You read it, Bill. What did you think of it?
Yeah, I thought it was a wonderful dark, right, by Dark and Oris. And I think she did an excellent job with it. And in her AN, it says, I hope this is okay. For some reason, it came to mind when I saw the picture. And it really was a nice read to that book. Speaking of the Grim Reaper, we all, I don't know, something about that venue of the light that this was like, wow. A once beautiful meadow, as far as the eye could see, with flowers all in bloom, is now a final resting place of 100,000 souls trapped in their best disgrace. Her wording is wonderful, and I think that her imagery throughout this was really well done. A great thought. A soul survivor stands there. Her wounds are showing strong, barely enough strength. The archer stands upon a hill, looking at the horizon as everything is still. Yeah, I think it's just a great piece that was really well done. So nice job, Dark and Aaron, and thanks for sharing with us. Absolutely.
Thank you, Phil. Thank you. And you read that beautifully. I was taken by the fact that at the beginning and at the end there was the same sentence, more or less, a single feather falls to begin with, and at the end, taking her life with a whisper, as a single feather falls. I thought that was very impactful, beautifully done to bring that in as the last line. But it looks to me as though there is somebody here who's not actually aware that they're dead or are dying. And it's not until death beckons her that she realizes, and she wasn't expecting it, I don't think. But I think it was so well written and such a lovely, haunting story. So thank you very much, Dark and Doris. I really enjoyed that.
It's only been 106 years since we started these programs, and I still can't take it. I don't know. Okay. So I did that. And to my next magic tip. I have one by Selena next. So let me put that up. And I have an audio for that. Let's give that a go. Here it goes. And the name of this piece is Sunflowers Will Bloom Again. And I'm not taking on the next three words. I have no idea. Pam, if you'd like to give them a try, you feel free. Bonus Schnicky. I don't know. I'm going to say something Pam would be able to pronounce. Let me put the audio on. Don't laugh too hard, Pam. I can't stand it. Okay, here it goes.
What?
Nothing.
To amber, resplendent wafture in the fields, for now we bid adieu, as they are bestrewn with carcasses of our heartland. Yet, like the ever sturdy blooms, we too will rise again, for never shall we cede to those who try to clean our fields and spirits. Sunflowers will bloom again, united like the yellow sentries, proud eyes lifted to the sun, whose irradiant gaze blinds us to the might of our foe. We are not afeard, for resistance is in our marrow, coursing through our beings like a raging river of molten steel. Sunflowers will bloom again, and when our land is free of this accursed blight of war, we shall return to to our meadows and replenish its wealth, weary but never broken, and take into our hands the beloved earth, mingled with the fallen martyrs for our sake. Sunflowers will bloom again, for with the irrigating blood and sacrifice, our land will be reborn once more with sunflowers. Our children will adorn their hair, romping and troubled in the sweet-smelling pastures. And in one voice we shall sing once more in the evening's blush, the glory and freedom of Ukraine has not yet perished. Sunflowers will bloom again. Sunflowers will bloom again. Zanyashniki znowu zacwitat.
Well, that was, yes, that was beautiful. Thank you so much, Selena. Beautiful SoundCloud as usual. And Phil, your thoughts, please.
Me? Did you say Phil?
Yes, I did.
My goodness. You know, Selena, this was an outstanding poem, and very heartfelt to think. That's the way I would describe it. You know, playing the Ukraine's national anthem in the back, and I think that you nailed all these stanzas, and really raised awareness. It made people look at this from a different point of view. There's so much going on. And I, you know, I could pick any stanza and say, yeah, this is wonderful. Yes, this is wonderful. I love the sunflowers will bloom again. I think that is just a wonderful repeat line throughout. You know, I have to go with this final stanza. So with their irrigating blood and sacrifice, our land will be reborn. Once more with sunflowers, our children will adorn their hair, romping untroubled in the sweet-smelling pastures. And in one voice, we shall sing once more in the evening's blush. The glory and freedom of Ukraine has not yet perished. Sunflowers will bloom again. Sunflowers will bloom again. I think that this is just a fabulous, fabulous piece. And definitely, I don't know, I thought it was very touching and very well done. So, excellent work. And thank you, Selena, as always. Great job.
Thank you. Yes, it was, wasn't it? And Pam, your thoughts?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, this is absolutely beautiful. I like how she uses the sunflowers, you know, as that representation of hope. And in dark times, and great choice of background music, wonderful imagery and metaphors, all the way through. This is beautifully written, but I especially like United Like the Yellow Sentry's proud eyes lifted to the sun, whose irritant gaze blinds us to the might of our foe. We are not afeared, for resistance is in our marrow. Wonderful lines and very well done.
Yes, well said, yes. I note at the top she says this music in the background is the Ukraine's national anthem. And that was a lovely idea, wasn't it? I really admire the amount of work that Selena puts in to what appears to be effortless, but, you know, we know it's not. Even down to the way her page looks, I think it's just lovely. She's dedicated, and I like that a lot. So I love the accent, by the way, Selena. Very good. See you with a whip. No, never mind. That was not funny, Kate. So, yes, beautifully done, Selena. Thank you so much. As always, beautiful work. Thank you for sharing. And over to you, Jean.
Okay. Hopefully I can find my way back. I go back to my theme song. Okay, let's see what I've got here. Okay, Pam, I'm going to bring it to you, and I'm going to ask you to read this piece by Jack Blue. Yeah, I haven't heard from Jack in a while. Okay, here we go.
Yeah, it has been a while.
Yes, yes. You know, when I saw the piece, I was like, yes, where has he been? But,
yeah. Is it my turn to read?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Okay. Ballad in Lunar Blue, number one, by Jack Blue. In the sorry mauve woods, I sing my bluish shadow if he toddles through the fate, the haughty, snowy comedy, or the misty, mad mirages where I dance my pen. If the shady melody or the lovely hymn of hell washes pitiful dead leaves fading silently offshore, I madly play the violin on the purple tragedy. I can see a cloud of birds groaning down the skies above the smiley sea, gleaming to infinity like another universe hidden in the holy grief. The silent, swift ballad of a frozen leaf adrift through the funky flames resounds always lovably like a song abloom on the infernal memory. The leafy love enchants the winged and ancient souls when their brave lament flows to blue infinity, rustling low and bright to play the silent mauve. If the fairy tale of hell covers all the sorry soil, I'm looking for some tune of rainbow monochrome or that lunar hymn mirrored in the blue. End poem.
Oh, beautifully read. Thank you so much. And Phil, your thoughts, please.
Well, Pam, that was a great read. It's a little longer than I'm used to seeing by Jack Blue. But in his usual style, I love the references to color throughout, as always. In the sorry mauve woods, I sing my bluish shadow. If he toddles through the fate, the haughty snowy comedy of misty mad mirages, where I dance my pen. Where I dance my pen. I thought that was kind of a clever reference there. I don't think I've ever, you know, read anywhere where someone made reference to writing as dancing his pen. The shady melody or the lovely hymn of hell. It's an intriguing write. You know, you got I madly play the violin on the purple tragedy. You know, his use of color there, I mean, for somehow, when he uses color, it always seems to fit in my mind and my imagination. It's not like, you know, it seems out of place for some reason. And, clever and well done, Jack. Jack Blue, and he signed it as Luke Lilac. So I guess it depends on what day it is, what color he is. It's all good, Luke. I'm just messing. Just a wonderful, wonderful piece. So thank you very much for sharing.
Thank you. Thank you. In his AN, he says this has been translated from a poem that he wrote in Italian. So he's translated it for us into English,
which is
lovely. Mm-hmm. So, and Pam, your thoughts, please.
Yeah, this is beautifully written. It's good to see a write by Jack. And I like how there's this bit of darkness in this. You know, and how it kind of speaks on the whole idea of the grieving process of nature. So, a wonderful write and very well done.
Yes, yes. I can see that, yes. The use of the colors is just, it seems to me as if sometimes he's basically saying the opposite of what he said a second ago, which I found, or maybe it's just my mind, but I found it fascinating the way he moved the feelings around, the way he danced with his pen. I thought it was beautifully done. But I like, if the shady melody, or this is the part, or the lovely hymn of hell, washes pitiful dead leaves fading silently offshore, I madly play the violin on the purple tragedy.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful use of colors in there. To give you that juxtaposition. Very, very well done, Jack, and thank you so much for sharing. And over to you, Phil.
Okie dokie. Well, Let's see now. My next piece will be a piece by Titus Llewellyn. So give me 2 seconds. The droplets on my mouse or in my cursor, or however you want to word it, so I can pick a fellow. And this is called Le Tour Relative, and I'm not sure if I said that right. But then it will be out. So, I don't know. God bless me. I can't speak too much. In another language or thought. Anyway, here we go. You can read it. You want to take a shot at it? Feel free. And I have an audio for you. So let me put the book on.
Rettore volutus rubiet. Sand and sea creates a cathartic panacea. The beach I comb, why lovely Cytherea, a goddess, who from anywhere I know, did find from way, way back in Nicosia. She this domain and my sole patriarch, from a time my peace of mind oligarch believed was inanimate like a driftwood, a beach bum world that is my trademark. I keep the distance for this my cenotia, having grace and passionate exposure glistening like it does between ourselves, a wonderful beach to bring some closure. Exotic birds of paradise, I thought destiny. The breeze, my love, becomes our mystery. A line we shall not cross over the horizon, from this to the next life of my discovery. A way of life, you know, to be with others. Imaginary friends whose desire uncovers more the self-centered and egotistic types, soaking up the sun. Like sons and lovers, our touchless affairs become the legends. What each a lover has, we shall misspend, just as many days together, living on until, on that beach, bemoan another loose ends.
Oh, that was wonderful. Thank you so much. And Phil, your thoughts, please. Hello? Everything's gone quiet.
Are you on mute? Send him a gun. You're supposed to say, are you on mute?
You gave me a fright. I thought I'd dropped.
No, I had myself quiet so I didn't make noise. I think this is a great piece by Titus. You know, something about when Titus, no matter what Titus writes, it always sounds like a classic. You know, I don't know if it's about the way he reads it. It just automatically kind of makes it seem that way in my brain. But he has such a wonderful way with words. And I saw that the title means beachcomber, rubaiyat. I don't know what rubaiyat means. So I can't push the two for it. But I thought that was intriguing. And I loved how he started this off. Sand and sea creates a cathartic panacea. The bench I comb, why lovely Cytherea, a goddess who from anywhere I know did find from way back in Nicosia. You know, you can tell he's just getting into his spirit. And what a wonderful beginning to that story. And as it goes down, it's, you know, He really makes it a wonderful adventure, a picture well painted. You know, exotic birds of paradise, I thought, destiny. The breeze, my love, becomes our mystery. A line we shall not cross over the horizon, from this to the next life of my discovery. It's just beautifully written. You know, he really does have a wonderful way with words. So definitely, you know, beautifully penned. So thank you, Titus, for sharing with us.
Thank you, Phil. And Pam, your thoughts, please.
Oh, yes, this is beautifully written. It has wonderful imagery. You know, I like how it brings in so many different images of the beach and kind of gives an idea of, you know, a laid-back life and love, you know. And I really like the lines with the exotic birds of paradise. I thought destiny, the breeze, my love, becomes our mystery. Wonderful lines and very well done. Mm-hmm.
Yes, I agree. And Phil, I agree with you as well. He does make it sound as though it's an epic ode to, you know, some Greek god, which it obviously is at this point. But I guess it's his way of talking, that cultured, steady way he has. It does put an awful lot of veritas behind his work. Really does. But this particular stanza intrigued me no end. Our touchless affairs become the legend. What each a lover has, we shall misspend just as many days together living on until on that beach bemoan another loose end. That is incredibly deep, and I'm afraid it kind of went over my head a bit there. But it was a beautiful stanza. I really loved it. I just maybe got a bit lost there. So I'll look at it again, or I might even ask the question. Who knows? Okay, I'll stop burbling. Back to you, Phil.
Okay, don't. Let me, let me entertain you, but I do not. Okay, let me go back to there. And over here. Okay, camera, that show, I am coming to you. Please. And this is a piece by Mamia.
Okay.
And it's called My Dear.
Ah, yes, I've got it. I do like when it pops up where it should make such a difference. My dear, your eyes shine in dappled sunlight, diamonds glinting with reflected light. Your mouth so supple and soft lifts the dark clouds of my heart aloft. I know every inch of your cream-colored skin, every line of your scars, both thick and thin. I know them all. I see every bit of you. All your lies and truths I can see through. I see your dreams, hopes, and ambitions, as well as your more sordid inhibitions. I want you to have all that you deserve, all those you don't let stump at the curb. I want to see me for once. I know you'd find me a bunce. I will not rush you. No, not yet. This is a slow dance we have, my pet. I'll take my time to get to know you, my actions methodical, thorough. Until then, I will watch from afar. Just remember, always remember, you are mine. End poem. And Pam, your thoughts on this, please.
Well, first of all, I think you did a great read there, Kate. This is a wonderful, dark and creepy write on being obsessed with somebody. I really like the ending, the last couple of stanzas. But I also really like, you know, I know your dreams, hopes, and ambitions, as well as your most sordid inhibitions. Wonderful lines and very well done.
Thank you. Yes, I guess. Well, it is a little bit, isn't it? A little bit. And your thoughts, please, Phil.
No, I think this is, I've never seen the show that she references down here. It's based on a Netflix show called You, which follows the story of a stalker. And I'm not familiar with the show, and even before I read the IN here, I was kind of like, yeah, we're just a little bit obsessed, you know. But I thought this was really well done. Mamia said a new way with them. She's very, I don't want to say cut and dry, because, you know, she has great imagery and really carries a thought for everyone. But I think she really nailed this. I want you to see me for once. I know you'd find me a bunch, but I will not rush you. No, not yet. This is a slow dance we have, my pet. I'll take my time to get to know you. My actions methodical, thorough. Until then, I will watch from afar. Just remember, always remember, you are mine. Yeah, you know, I think that that's a little bit creepy. But, you know, great job. And I think that, yeah, it was very well done. So thank you, Mamiya. Good to have you work that on the board.
Yes, it is, isn't it? Oh, I thought this was wonderful. I like the sort of like loving, worrying stalker vibe I got. And yes, so perfectly fits in with what she says in her AN. It did have that, I would call it loving menace about it, that you wouldn't want to take your eyes off her for very long. Wow. And it was so well done. And that last stanza was a cracker, I thought. Is that not a very technical term, but you get my drift. I thought it was beautifully done, and I liked the menace in it, and I liked the creepiness in it. And I hope it was meant to be like that, because otherwise I'm mucked up again. It was beautiful. So thank you so much for sharing with us. And over to you, Phil.
Okie dokie. Well, I'm actually ready this time. And this poem, I don't know quite how I did it, but I had this all the way up to the top under the image for my topic board. And Dave said to me, he said, you had it up first. Is it going to be read? And I'm like, I don't see it on my board. And he told me where it was, and I just started laughing because I have no idea how I got there. So in light of that it was number one, and I skipped it, I'm going to read it now. This is called Lessons by After the Fire. No guess. After the Fire, a.k.a. Dammit Dave. Lesson. I cursed the sun and stared it down until my eyes went blind. I dared the sea to let me drown to find some peace of mind. I put out fires with gasoline, then wondered why I burned. The glowing ashes lit the scene without one lesson learned. This plague I call a beating heart pumps blood of acid rain. My putrid soul a work of art in pastel paints and pain. I bear the scars of life's misslipping. Everyone's been earned. I held out hope that came and went without one lesson learned. I've cursed the stars up in the sky and scoffed at unseen gods. I've looked the reaper in the eye and then bet on the odds. Misfortune's court affirmed my fate, and laughter they adjourned with flattery, I filled my plate without one lesson learned. Wow. I got to get my eyeballs and my lips to work together. And poem. Great poem, Dave. Sorry.
Oh, you did that very well. I told you, I knew you manages to get in there something that's going to trip your tongue. He does it every time. Yes. So well done. And I always wait for it. Which one is the one that's going to get you? You know, he gets me every time. But yes, beautiful. and your thoughts, please, Pam.
Yeah, this is a wonderful rhyming poem with great imagery. I like how it speaks on the idea that we learn the biggest lessons in life from our mistakes. Real strong emotional impact. I really like this plague I call a beating heart pumps blood of acid rain. My putrid soul a work of art in pastel paints and pain. Wonderful use of imagery and alliteration. So very well done.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Pam. I like that line so much, in pastel paints and pain. Alliteration alone, that's just a beautiful line. And your thoughts on this, Phil, please.
I really like this poem. A lot of times Dave makes very good points with what he's writing. He has people like go, oh, yeah. But hang on, I'm going to put this one down. I like how he took a second stanza and repeated the line at the end without one lesson learned. I thought that was he did it so well. I've cursed the stars up in the sky and scoffed at unseen gods. I've looked the reaper in the eye and then bet on the odds. Misfortune's court affirmed my fate, and laughter they adjourned. With flattery, I filled my plate without one lesson learned. I just think he really did a nice job with this. I mean, you know, I think that the fact that he did this in two stanzas, each section of it, each one of those two stanzas could actually, like, kind of hang out on their own, in my opinion. It's not like they absolutely feed, like, they feed each other, but they're not necessary to be complete. So, excellent job, Dave, and thanks for sharing with us. And thanks for the chuckle and trying to figure out where your poem was.
Oh, yes, I agree totally with what both of you have said. Yes, it is very daring, isn't it? Two stanzas, then without one lesson learned, another two stanzas, then without one lesson learned. So he's holding it together with that repeat, but on every second stanza, which is so cool. I like it a lot. So it doesn't become, you know, it's not like predictable, because you're not expecting it the second time because you've not got it, and then you get it again. I think it's brilliant. I'm not making much sense, but you know what I mean. I thought my favorite one was, I put out fires with gasoline, then wondered why I burned. The glowing ashes lit the scene without one lesson learned. Now, you'd think if you set yourself on fire, you would have learned your lesson. Don't do that again. Ah, just wonderful. I just thought it was so good. Damn it, Dave, you did it again. Well done.
Damn it, Dave.
Damn it, Dave, you did it again.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Okay, so back over here I go. And Pam, I'm coming to you. And find the room. I'm getting there. I'm getting there. I only have about three more clicks. No, I'm kidding. Only one. Hello, Frank. And here we go. It's called I Can't Do It by Nuno Cardoso. So whenever you can.
All right. I Can't Do It by Nuno Cardoso. Shuffle me, I've spent lengths tricking cards to fall into order. Honey, I can't, Shuffle me, I've spent lengths tricking cards to fall into order. Honey, I can count them. I'm a con man. I'll count once more. You've got to come on now, not hard, sleeves are old and worn, rip them apart, card after card, use your soft fingertips, organize again, shuffle so I lose track of my love for you inside the deck, end poem.
Nice read, man.
Thank you. That was a lovely read. Thank you. So, Phil, your thoughts on this poem, please.
You know, it's a great brevity, and I like the concept of it. Down in the AN, it says shuffle me. And, you know, sometimes you meet someone, and you just want them to change it up a little bit. You want someone sometimes to just look a little deeper and maybe help you sort things out. And I'm not even sure if this is what he had in mind, but I that's the way I was seeing it. Shuffle me. I've spent lengths tricking cards. Fall into order. Honey, I can count them. I'm a con man. I'll count once more. You've got to come on. Not hard. Sleeves are old and worn. Rip them apart. You know, I just think that there's something there that he's asking for someone to help him get, or to help just help him put things in order. I don't know if that's even the right way to say it. Help me out, Pam, anytime now. Just feel free to jump in there. Oh, my God, you too. Oh, my gosh. I don't know. I kind of get it, I think. You know, it says love, pain, and goodbye. Like, goodbye. That's kind of, I don't see that in here. But maybe I'm just confused. I don't know. But I do like it, and I do think that it makes sense. And I think that shuffle me line really really does say to me, you know, take it up a little bit. Let's see where it goes, see how it falls. I don't know. But, you know, I like the piece. I thought it sounded, you know, great, and I thought it read well. So maybe the girls will straighten me out. too. Okay, guys. Thanks, Nina.
Okay, my darling. There's no problem. Pam will sort us out. Pam will get our mind organized for us. Over to you, Pam.
Okay.
All right. Well, yeah, it's a wonderful brevity with a great metaphor and imagery. I kind of saw it as the idea of someone who's used to life going their way, tricking cards to fall into order. I can count them. I'm a con man. I'll count once more. And then the whole concept of life going as you plan falls apart when a person comes along unexpectedly, you know, and when love comes along unexpectedly. But I think there's kind of I don't know for sure, but I think there's a little bit of a sadness of in within the lines, shuffle so I lose track of my love for you inside the deck. Mm-hmm. The idea of not wanting to remember that love that, you know, hurt too much.
Yeah.
So excellent write and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. Thanks very much. Yes, I kind of got that last part of that last stanza did kind of jolt me a little bit because it wasn't what I was expecting. Excuse me a second. I'm going to cough in your... Sorry, my voice is going. So, you know, we understand that he's found this is a love's come along that he wants to try and control. So he's going back to counting cards. But then he says, shuffle so I lose track of my love for you inside the deck. So maybe he's scared of love. You know, maybe it's far more powerful than he thought it would be and he can't control it. He can't control himself anyway. I'm sure he didn't expect it. So it might be that that's a case of he does love her, but he's scared. I wonder. Anyway, I thought it was beautifully written, and I really enjoyed it. And, you know, shuffle me, I've spent lens tricking cards to fall into order. I liked that a lot. I thought that was very clever. So thank you so much, Nunu, for letting us share that with you. And
I'm just glad that I shut up and let Pam say something because when she did that, all of a sudden I went card after card, use your soft fingertips to organize. Again, shuffle. So I lose track of my love for you inside the deck. Duh. Like that was right there. I don't know, you know. Maybe I should take up drinking. It might help.
But
I think,
it does.
It's like, is that the secret? I said, let me bury my head within the cards. That's what I wrote. Yeah. Yeah, I kind of got a better handle on it. Doesn't mean I'm right, but yeah. Thank you, Pam. So I knew you had the answer. You were just hiding and holding out for me. Okay. The next piece I'm going to put up is by Robert M. And we have an audio for this. So here it goes. This is called Futility by Robert M. And I have to hit the button. Awesome.
This is my recital of Futility, a poem inspired by Carol Ann Duffy. The coffin beckons, and hedonic asphyxiation attempts to lull me to an early grave, or perhaps a grave long overdue. The earth seems to reach out for its long-awaited prize. Vines seem to rustle as I pass by. Shadows openly conspire, and the worms grow restless beneath the fold. Poisonous wind and collaboration with tainted sustenance will undoubtedly lead to my demise post-haste. The sunlight spews its curses of falsity in presenting things that I can see but cannot have. The air is my enemy, the sun is my enemy. My food is my enemy. My water is my enemy. Myself is my enemy. They all yearn for what is not, those pieces of me that have long withered and decayed in the field of scars. I am not even sure that love can bring these parts of me back to life anymore, since I fear it may be too late. The soil is deathly tainted, and I am too far gone.
Yeah.
Oh, that was wonderful. Oh, my. Oh, okay, your thoughts, please, Phil.
You know, Robert has such a wonderful way with words when he writes. I love his use of alliteration in this. You know, and his thought. The sunlight skews its surface of falsity in presenting things that I can see but cannot have. The air is my enemy. The sun is my enemy. My food is my enemy. My water is my enemy. Myself is my enemy. They all yearn for what is not. Those pieces of me that have long withered and decayed in the field of stars. I don't know, man. It's just, he always has such hard-hitting words and lines in his work. It's always painful. Not always. Don't get me wrong. No, I shouldn't say it that way. They're not. But he does the darkness so damn well. And I always love that. I think that I'm sure if I went back and looked at the piece by Carol Ann Duffy that he, or whatever the prompt was, I'm sure that I could go, yep, that's exactly what it was. And it's pretty amazing. So I find him to be very precise in what he does. Everything is well. The words keep popping out of my head. But the name of the poem that he used as a prompt is called If I Was Dead. And my bones adrift like dropped stars. Yes. I'm sure it's an incredible take on the rest of this prompt, which I'm going to have to check out now. And well done, Robert, and thank you so much, as always, for sharing with us. Really appreciate it. I'm going to leave it at that.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And Pam, your thoughts, please.
Yeah, this is beautifully written, a wonder great. As always, it's great to hear him read. And I like how it speaks on the idea about someone who life is completely against them. And they even, you know, feel like their own spirit is against them. Wonderful lines. I too like the part that Jean pointed out with the air is my enemy, the sun is my enemy. I also really like poisonous wind in collaboration with patent substance will undoubtedly lead to my demise post haste. And so beautifully written lines and very well done.
Thank you. Yes. I think this, I mean, he's very brave. Because somebody once said to me, I don't know who it was, that you don't want lots of lists in a story or a poem because people might get bored. Well, that is not the case here at all, because you want to know, you know, you want to follow those lines through to see where it takes him. And so, as I say, I think that's very, very brave to give you that block of what he thinks is against him, everything. I thought that was wonderfully done. But I don't know. It's, again, it's sad but powerful. And his reading voice is wonderful. But what I like that last stanza. I thought that was so, I mean, it followed on through the poem. It was a perfect conclusion. It would be what you would expect that conclusion to be. I am not even sure that love can bring these parts of me back to life anymore. Since I fear it may be too late, the soil is deathly tainted, and I am too far gone. I mean, that's just a perfect ending for that, isn't it? Well done. Thank you so much, Robert. I really enjoyed it. Thank you for sharing. Thank you for reading. And back to you, Phil.
Thank you, Doug. Well, coming back to you, Miss Weaver, lady.
Okay.
Put this piece up and this is by Daniel Deschino. So if you would be so kind as to give that a read, I would much appreciate it.
Yes, of course. I've got it. Cool. The universe is a heartbeat. Perfect. Right. I look for life within you, and on the outside I see movement. But even in stillness and quiet, a gentle touch, and I feel a pulse, a rhythm. This is life. When you move, he says, of a dance flowing through the day, synchronizing with the other heartbeats of the world. Creatures, powered by rhythm, dance to where their heartbeats bring them. The trees, excuse me for a second, I'm going to cough one second. The trees partner with the wind, and their leaves fall and grow as the world turns and sails through the galactic valley. I see stars every night, and I miss them every day. And the oceans kiss the shore with a gentle hand from the moon. What have we discovered in music but harmony and connection, rhythm and harmony? I have looked endlessly, and there is nothing else. End poem.
Beautiful.
Oh, that was beautiful. Thank you. Thank you. And Pam, your thoughts on this, please.
Being stepped away. You're stuck with me. Think you can handle that?
Yeah, I think so. Go for it, babe.
I think this was an excellent write by Dan. And I think that, yes. Without music, life would be a mistake. That was the contest that you wrote this piece for. Creatures powered by rhythm dance to where their heartbeats bring them. The trees partner with the wind, and their leaves fall and grow as the world turns and sails through the galactic ballet. I see stars every night, and I miss them every day. And the oceans kiss the shore with a gentle hand from the moon. This is beautiful, beautiful imagery and wonderful thoughts throughout. So, yes. Generally, he does write some really outstanding work. And this is definitely no exception to that at all. Just as I said, wonderful imagery and just beautiful, beautiful work. I'm straight down to the end, but I'm not going to read it all. So, you know, I probably read too much anyway when I take comments. So nice work. And thank you, Dan, very much for putting that on our board for tonight. And congrats on the bronze. I can imagine what the gold looks like if this is a bronze.
Mm. Yeah, amazing. Exactly. Amazing. Oh, well said. I agree. I thought this was absolutely beautiful. There's a gentle tenderness to this, which just comes through, you know, and you can feel it, which I think is lovely. I like to get a feeling from writing. You like to, you know what's behind it, what emotion. But I love this when you move, it is of a dance, flowing through the day, synchronizing with the other heartbeats of the world. That's beautiful. Really is. I really love that. And the trees, you read this on it, the trees partner with the wind and their leaves fall and grow as the world turns and sails through the galactic ballet. Oh, beautiful. I mean, I don't know how he manages to do this, because there's no great big enormous words, you know, to, six syllable words and five syllable words to hit you in the face with. This is just beautifully written in a lovely, pure way, which I thought was, beautiful. Well, thank you so much, Daniel. We really enjoyed that. Now, is our Pam back?
I am, but I'm just going to go ahead and leave Daniel a written comment later.
Yep, absolutely. Fine, no problem. All right, back to you again, my dear Phil.
Okay, and here we go. I'm going to put this piece up by Jack Tomkiewicz. And this is called For the Soil by Jack Tomkiewicz. 44 years passed. I planted a seed in you, you a fertile soil, flowing rivers, pastures verdant on the hillside. That seed bloomed, blossomed, and grew into our works with you. 800 SAT score, daughter Jessica, who has walked her path in this wild, wicked world. Boss, landlord, wife, trivia queen, bunny mom, on yellow bricks, the Scarecrow, and Tin Woodman. So well.
Thank you. That was very well read. Thank you. And Pam, your thoughts?
It's a clever write on starting a family and paying tribute to the woman who is his wife and carries his children and all the different jobs that she has. You know, boss,
landlord, wife, trivia queen, bunny mom. You know, just really fun lines and very well done.
Yes, thank you. And your thoughts, please, Phil.
You know, I think this is a sweet piece directed towards his daughter, although in the beginning it starts out as a nod to his wife. I find that that is a clever place to begin it, even though he's speaking of his daughter. You know, he starts out with he and his wife, and that seed bloomed and blossomed and grew into our Works for Duke 800 SAT squared daughter, Jessica. And I thought that was like a pat on the back. You know, to him, his wife and his daughter, I guess. Because, you know, they're wonderful accomplishments. You know, his walk or path in this wild, wicked world. Yeah. I thought that was great. And I assume there's some kind of tie-in to The Wizard of Oz. I'm not exactly sure where that goes. But I'm sure it's something, you know, that either she enjoyed much of or, you know, found inside joke or something to that effect. But I thought it was a nice piece and nicely done. So great job, Brad, and thanks for sharing.
Yes, I was wondering if the his daughter, Jessica, who has walked her path in this wild, wicked world, may then tie in with the Yellow Brick Road, with the scarecrow.
No way.
Could be. I got a bit lost at the end because I thought that the name was T-I-M, Tim Woodman. And I'm thinking, who's Tim Woodman? Never heard of the man. Well, it was Tim Woodman. Oh, my God, I'm getting so old. So, yes, excuse me. My voice is going. I think this was so cleverly done and such a lovely ode to his daughter. And I thought it was beautifully done. Yeah, beautiful. But at flowing rivers, pastures verdant on the hillside, that's a lovely little standard there on its own, isn't it? Beautiful. So thank you, Jack. Most enjoyable. And back to you, Phil.
Thank you, Jesse. Yeah. Yeah, real slave driver, Pam, I'm telling you. Bringing it back to me.
Well, I don't want it.
I feel like we're playing hot potato here. Okay, let's do now. The next one I have will be, I have one here. Pam, wait. Yes, it is your read. Pam, it's your read. I don't read.
Okay.
You'd think there was a dozen of us the way I have to hesitate and say, whose read is it? Okay, here we go. Whenever you're ready, this is called The Owl of Minerva Beneath a Silvery Moon. And hey, it's by Pam Ray. She's a good read. Mm-hmm.
All right. The light of a thousand stars hangs upon a shield of obsidian. Mistress Moon blinks a silvery eye, an ancient matriarch watching over the world. The hushed tones of night guides the spirits and the fae folk to dance in wavering blades of grass. The little owl of Minerva is swirling and gliding. Frosted wings spread as wisdom is passed along to minds opened to the offering. Within a family home, window lights welcome midnight poetry written upon the branches of white birch fairy trees. Nature's hypnotic voice whispers welcoming lullaby, guiding a smudged land of green and gold to dreams unfolding in the psalm of a daisy and poem.
Oh, beautiful. Oh, I like that so much. And Phil, your thoughts, please. Are you on mute, my dear?
Well, of course I am. Of course. Why would I not be? It's only a show. Why would I think I needed to be alert and oriented? Times three. Well, four. The mute button is a little bit of tone. Pam, you know, your imagery is always fabulous, and your storytelling is always incredible. And as always, you know, I think that this is just wonderful. First of the image you chose is, I don't know, it's it's dark and these daisies are popping out all over the place and this owl. But it's not dark, dark. You know, it's got its brightness to it. So I think that your beginning here, the light of a thousand stars hangs upon a shield of oblivion. Mistress Moon blinks a silvery eye, an ancient matriarch watching over the world. That's a fabulous lead-in stanza for this. And I have to say that, hold on, that went right out of my head. I'll have to get back to that one. But the little owl of Minerva is swirling and gliding. Frosty wings spread as wisdom is passed along. The mind into the offering. You know, what a great character that you've created here with just these few words. You know, she's offering that gift of wisdom. And I think that's really, and you know, you didn't need like lines and lines and lines and lines to make it happen. You just made it happen in a brief, you know, few lines. But just beautiful, really done. And I love this last line. Well, maybe it's the last two. The dreams unfolding in the psalm of the daisy. A great psalm of the daisy. Amazing. I really think this is wonderful. That's another one of those where I want more. Give me more. Feed me more of the story. You know, all your story poems do that to me. I always want to hear more. But you're kind of a one-and-done girl. You just don't want to go back and get it for us. Yeah. But anyway, it's a beautiful write, and I loved it. I really did. I loved the imagery. I loved it. And I loved it as a standalone piece. That's what I was going to say. That's the sentence I lost. You don't need that image on this poem for it to make sense. You know, it is a story that definitely walks its own path, and very well done. So thanks for sharing. Absolutely.
Well, thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I have to say, I really enjoyed this. I mean, I envy your ability with words. It is wonderful. But that first stanza, I love the thought that the moon could be considered as an ancient matriarch watching over the world. That is such a lovely thought. And then you have the fae folk and the spirits, which I also am really into all that side of things as well. But to dance in wavering blades of grass, that's just a lightness about it, which is wonderful. I really enjoyed this. I thought it was just beautiful. Every stanza is just so cool. But that last one, nature's hypnotic voice whispers welcoming lullabies, guiding. I don't know why I'm reading your own poem back to you. I mean, it's not like you don't.
I like hearing you read my poem. So
thank you. So guiding a smudged land of green and gold to dreams unfolding in the psalm of a daisy. Oh, beautiful. Thank you so much for this. I really enjoyed it. And
thank
over
you.
To you, Phil. Oh, my pleasure, my darling. It was a pleasure to hear it. So thank you.
Okay. I know she's going to say my name any second now. I know it. I can feel it coming. Go in a minute because I have to send this little comment over to Pam, otherwise you won't
okay.
get it, because I'll never make it back, please.
Oh, no I problem. You just carry on. Tip, 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 tipping.
Okay.
We're here.
Okay. Now, here we go. We're going to read, not read, but we're going to read, but we're also going to do this. This is a piece by, Arcana Amor, and I have an audio. Oh, here we go. And here we go. In Haunting Remembrance by Arcana Amor. And here it goes.
soaring above the misty mire of mirth and more, towers the foreboding facade of Rusebane Castle, a place trapped in time by its troublesome past, when an evil laird festooned its halls with murder. Echoed screams are heard to seep its walls, amid wailing choruses of sullen cries that glide the dank air with morose moans. In a cacophony of haunting, harrowing howls, the candle-lit corridors stroke spines in shivers that groan faded footsteps from forlorn fates, plunging minds into mazes of deep depression, sinking the depths of its drowning darkness. Spectral shapes float between swirling shadows. Within pallid halls of their ghostly presence, pleading their plight with timeless torment, forever destined to hush belated warnings. Heartbeats thump fear in pounds of panic. The gloom strangles souls with rising hysteria, as visitors get swallowed by its sinister shroud that lingers in misdeeds rippling from the past. All who fell foul of the laird's rampant wrath were dealt fits of rage by the blade of his dagger. Their corpses, carefully secreted inside the ramparts, hidden from God's grace, denied hallowed peace. To this day, their spirits still endlessly roam there, wandering where cached remains lay scattered, watched with a heaven-sent cry of remembrance upon a snow-white peacock's waxen wing.
Oh, wonderfully done. And Pam, your thoughts?
Oh, this is absolutely beautiful. As always, you've got just wonderful imagery, great delicate use of some alliteration. And I like how he brings us into the story of a haunted castle where the ghost cannot leave. They're part of the landscape or part of the castle walls and wander within it. And, you know, the guests, you know, almost as if they I like how he also brings in sounds, because I think when it comes to poems about hauntings, I think, you know, the sounds are just as important as, and the atmosphere created is just as important as the imagery, which is why I like heartbeat stomp fear and pounds of panic. The gloom strangles souls with rising hysteria as visitors get swallowed by its sinister shroud. You know, wonderful lines there, beautifully written and very well done.
Thank you. Thank you, Pam. And Phil, your thoughts? Are you on mute, my dear?
Oh, I was, and I was about to finish my whole comment now. Come on. Cut it out. You couldn't hear me?
Nope.
Dang it. Wow. Okay, well, I don't know about this mute thing. I don't think it's working out too well for me. I thought it was a fabulous write by Arcana, an incredible story told. He's like, man, they both tell a story. Well, there's quite a few of our poets that do that, but when they tell a story, it always, I don't know, it's as if they put it on the paper and it's polished from the beginning. I don't quite know. They just make it seem so effortless, and I'm sure it's not, so don't get that wrong. By no way am I saying they don't work hard for it. I know they do. But I love the last two stanzas. I thought it was a great finish to the piece. So excellent work. To this day, their spirits still endlessly roam there, wandering where caches remain, they scattered, watched with a heaven-sent sigh of remembrance upon a snow-white peacock's waxen wing. Just really nicely done. So thank you, Arcana, as always, for sharing with us.
Thank you. I'm so sorry, Pam. Did I ask you?
You did, yes.
Thank you. I thought I had, but I was just checking. I'm getting to that stage in my life where I forget my own name. Yes, I thought this was as usual. This was just wonderful, and as you say, Phil, it does. It feels effortless. I mean, it's so well done. Mm-hmm. It's so beautifully worded, beautifully put together. How do they do it? Both him and Selena have this complete knack of just marrying everything together so well. I can read one line and stumble. That, you know, they just are so good, so very good. And I love the haunting quality of it, and the fact that Laird getting his own damn way again. Oh, off you, man. Off you, man. So, yes, I thought it was beautifully done. Thank you so much for sharing that with us, Arcana. It was wonderful. Back to you.
Absolutely. Okay, now this next piece I also have an audio for. This is called Silence by Weaver of Dreams. So here we go.
Oh.
Okay.
There is silence. Then there is a kind of silence so profound it is palpable. That quietness smothers thoughts, and you feel it like a clawing mist covering your mind. There are no frivolous bird songs, children chattering, trains, traffic, none of the detritus that we've learned to blank out to preserve our sanity. But beware, that can go too far. When we daydream, we evoke some of the chemicals that are released when we sleep. Mere seconds can feel like days as bodies become disengaged, disorientated, rudderless. It is a rare condition, at most an inconvenience, but some have a twist that allows deeds to be done, leaving no knowledge of the event in the memory of the daywalker. I may be one.
Okay, so that one over. And your thoughts, please, Pam.
This has a wonderful imagery throughout. I like the opening line. There is silence. Then there is the kind of silence so profound it is palpable. I like how you bring up the idea of the different kinds of silences, the ones that, you know, weigh heavy on you and feel lonely. You know, but then the silence that really, you know, helps, you know, to, I don't know, to just, it's a deeper kind of silence. I really, really like when we daydream, we evoke some of the chemicals that are released when we sleep. Mere seconds can feel like days as bodies become disengaged, disorientated, rudderless. I like that we learn a little something there, while at the same time it's beautifully written in a very poetic style. And I like that you pay tribute to the importance of daydreaming. So wonderful write and very well done.
Thank you, my dear. Very kind. And Phil. Not bad.
Dang it. I'm with Sam. You know, I like the first line, but I also like that whole first stanza. There's a silence that there is, and then there is a kind of silence so profound it is palpable. That quietness smothers thoughts, and you feel it like a calmness covering your mind. There is nothing worse than that silence that just kind of, it's deafening, the silence, you know, sometimes. I think I don't know. That's where I was going with it. I don't know. I thought that was a great set of lines. So I could get that feeling. But I liked your last stanza as well. It is a rare condition, at most an inconvenience. But some have a twist that allows peace to be done, leaving no knowledge of the event in memory of the daywalker. I may do that. I thought that was a great way to finish this up, because, you know, nobody's head was really in that space until those last lines. And I thought that was a clever, you know, you're always good with a twist. Always, always good with a twist you are. And to me, that's what that was, you know, that I may be one. Just kind of made everybody look a different direction, like, wait a minute, I missed something? And I thought that was clever, but it really reads well all the way through. Each stanza is wonderful. But I did like that beginning. As I say, you know, I definitely agree with Sam on that. And I think that there's just so many of them that are lines that are so well done. So great job. Thank you so much for sharing them.
Oh, thank you. I enjoyed it. I like leaving it open at the end like that, because I didn't know how to end it. No, I wanted it to end like that. That was meant. But thank you. I enjoyed writing it. So, back to you, Phil.
I knew you were going to say that. Okay. I'm going. I think I put this all together. Okay. If I stop putting myself on mute, that would help. Okay, I'm going to read this piece. It's by Jenny Hunt, 2017. Hi, Naomi. Welcome to the party. Numbed Heart and Soul by Jenny Hunt, 2017. Bleeding from walking on your shattered glass. Numb from it all. The pain doesn't last. Always disappointing you, furrowing your brow. Tirelessly appeasing you just to let you down. Crumbling, I fall to pieces. No, let me try that again. Crumbling, I fall to pieces. Knowing your love for me ceases. Never will I satisfy you. Always comparing me, that's all you ever do. Don't know how much more I can take. On the edge, I'm about to break. Feeling the pressure, one more evil word I'll snap. Numb anymore from your demeaning, hurtful step. Never will I be good enough. Why are you so rough with me and tough? Once you were happy, I was all you ever wanted. Now all my failures and flaws you have taunted. Now numb inside, my warm heart is growing cold. Your degrading words, they no longer have a hold. Melting my mind as if it never mattered. I won't let you anymore. I won't be battered. So numb to your touch, now I'm moving on. My bruises and insecurities can now flow on. Can't feel you anymore. from you I'm numb. Never will you hurt me again. I'm gone and home. Oh.
Thank you. Thank you. That was beautifully read. Thank you so much. And Pam, your thoughts, please.
Yeah, I really like the strength of emotion put into this write. Powerful lines, an excellent write on, you know, moving forward and getting away from an abusive relationship. I really like, don't know how much I can take on the edge. I'm about to break, feeling the pressure. One more evil word, I'll snap, numb anymore from your demeaning, hurtful trap. And then the end lines where it says, never will you hurt me again, I'm gone. You know, wonderful lines and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. Thanks very much. And Phil, your thoughts?
Well, you know, am I on mute? No, I'm walking. Nice hand, I said. And a great take on the inspirational song that she chose. You know, she said that her inspiration came from a Linkin Park song, you know, Numb. So I thought that was pretty good. I'm kind of glad to know it came from a song and not real life again, because too many things happen in real life, and it's easy to find people that have been in those situations. But I thought it was good, and I liked the way she took back her power and took it away from the culprit in this right. So great job, Jenny, and thank you so much for sharing with us.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I agree. Beautifully written. And you can feel it's a hard thing to try and live with somebody who constantly cuts little pieces of you off and makes fun of you when you try and say something that's in your heart or something you believe. They'll just make out that it was unintelligent, which I find very difficult. I was there myself. So I understand exactly how that feels.
Mm-hmm.
It's not easy. And the thing is, it's a constant battering. And you actually get to the point where you can't fight anymore. You can't say, no, you're wrong, again and again, you know, because it never gets through and it never alters anything. Yeah. You just wear yourself out with the futility of it. So, yes, I think the fact that you can get your strength back and you can say to yourself, yeah, you're not going to hurt me again. I'm off. I'm gone. I thought that was great. I love that ending because that's the way it should be for everybody. But nobody should have to go through that to the point where they have to actually physically pick themselves up and move. That nobody should have to put up with that. But so beautifully done, and you portrayed the whole of how that feels very, very well. So thank you for that. And back to you, Phil.
Okay, well, the next piece I'm going to put up is by Frank. Yes. And I think it's going to be a fine chilling read. If I remember correctly, it's got a dark image. Yeah. You know, we're always in trouble then. Yep, it's about a cemetery. So let me hit the button for that because we do have an audio.
The sweet silence of the day has been interrupted suddenly by the penetrating perturbation of roaring raindrops of a tempest looming over the sleeping selves of the creepy crawlers lurking beyond the old abandoned road of the Centurio Cemetery ahead. The seducing sounds of the solitary silhouettes resonate, an old rich echo of the curious carts hiding in a shade of darkness when the nocturnal creatures of the spooky sanctuary watch with the crimson film of the beady eyes of throbbing terror. The wailing winds of the cemetery reach the windows of townsfolk, waiting for the haunting hall to abate with the raging rain, as the clustered children hide under the beds with sheer fright, and the swaying shutters flap back and forth with all force. Scratching paws and horrible hissing of the emergent evil, glowing eyes of a menacing moonlight hovers high above, like a wisp of light reflected from the burning brimstone. For the collisionist cards are aware of your susceptibility. Death is a blind mystery that only a few have resolved its enigma, and buries the secret that remains hidden within the episodes of life, where the strangest beings of all thus reside beside us forever. If the strangest occurrences that torment our fragile minds.
Oh my God. Yep.
I'm so sorry. I forgot to see myself on mute. I apologize. Oh dear. And Pam, your thoughts, please.
Yeah, this is a wonderful dark ride. Great imagery throughout. Brilliant storytelling. I like how it speaks on those creatures of the night that walk alongside death. I especially like the wailing winds of the cemetery reach the windows of town folks waiting for the haunting hour to abate with the raging rain. And then death is a blind mystery that only a few will resolve its enigma, and burial is secret that remains hidden within the episode of life where the strangest beings of all. You know, wonderful lines all the way through and very well done.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And Phil, your thoughts?
I think this is a pretty incredible dark ride, as always, by Frank. He does have a way of really putting the imagery together and drawing you in with just the darkness. The seducing sounds of the solitary silhouettes resonate, an eldritch echo of the curious cat hiding in a shade of darkness. When the nocturnal creatures of the spooky sanctuary watch with the crimson film of their beady eyes of starving terror. You know, each stanza is like that. I mean, he just builds the imagery in each stanza and makes it incredible. You know, and I like that. He does that in each one. You know, the wailing winds of the cemetery. He has a great use of alliteration running through this piece as well. And it really stood out in certain stanzas, you know. I think when we read it ourselves, the alliteration stands out maybe just a little more. But the audios are just fabulous. So excellent job, Frank, and thank you so much for sharing with us. Absolutely.
Thank you. Thank you, Phil. Yes, wow, yeah, it was creepy. My particularly favorite stanza, or my stanza I particularly liked, scratching paws and horrible hitting of the emerging evil. Glowing eyes of a menacing moonlight hovers high above, like a listful light reflected from the burning brimstone. For the cats are aware of your susceptibility. I thought that, apart from the word that I can't say, I thought that was absolutely beautifully creepy. Hissing of the emerging evil, that's so cool. And excuse me, Frank, but you must give me a warning when you're going to do that laughter, because it scares the bejesus out of me. I went, oh, ha, ha. It's an evil laugh, and we need to be warned. I'm getting old, remember, I'm a little old lady, you can't be frightening me like that, son. So yeah, that was beautiful. It was wonderful. Thank you so much for sharing, Frank.
And then now you have to tell that to somebody who doesn't know your girlfriend. Okay, here we go. The next piece I'm going to put up is, Pam, can I get you to read this one for me? It's Airbag by S. Jett.
Absolutely.
Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Airbag by S. Sharp. When you are deployed, you are a blitzkrieg, a kamikaze attack, powdering my face with enough starch to stand up a pair of fatigues. You travel in columns as if on a covert mission, waiting for your charge, exploding on impact. You are my protection under the guise of aggression. End poem.
Oh, beautifully read. Thank you so much. That was well read. And Phil, your thoughts?
I don't know. Hang on. Let me do it quickly. It's a great brevity. I can start there. When you are deployed, you are a blitzkrieg, a kamikaze attack pattering my face with enough starch to stand up a pair of fatigues. You travel in columns as if a covert mission waiting for your foot, but no, you're my protection under the guise of aggression. It's clever. It really is clever because I would never really think of an airbag in these terms. And it was well done. It was well done. It's very true. And I think that he worded it well, and I think he really pulled it to it was just a well-expressed set of facts, pretty much. I guess that's the best way to say it. So nice job, Scott, and I really enjoyed the write. Clever thinking there. Nicely done.
Thank you, Phil. Thank you. And you read this, Pam. Your thoughts, please.
Yeah, this is a wonderful brevity, a great extended metaphor. I like how, to me, it speaks on the idea of misguided protectiveness, the idea of being protective but to the point of actually scaring the person that you're being protective to for. And so excellent write and very well done.
Thank you. Yes, that's a thought to conjure with. I mean, at the beginning, forgetting what the title was, I heard when you are deployed, you are a blitzkrieg, a kamikaze attack, powdering my face with enough starch to stand up a pair of fatigues. Now, I was not aware that you got that kind of effect from an airbag, so that was wonderful to know. Oh, that's interesting. And then we had the rest of it, which I thought was equally interesting. So you are my protection under the guise of aggression, because yes, it goes poof in your face, big huge bag. Which is protection, but it's kind of aggressive. So yes, I think it was beautifully written, and it's a lovely thing to write. I mean, I never thought about airbags. I know they're there. You don't get them on motorbikes, which is probably a good idea. But yeah, very well done. I was very interested in that. Thank you, and you made it not only interesting, but there was a slight touch of humour there as well, which I enjoyed. Or maybe that's just me. That's probably just me. So anyway. Lovely. Thank you so much. And back to you, Phil.
Okay. So, good night, Frank. Okay, Kate, I'm going to ask you to read this next one. This is by Naomi. And it's the last one we have on the board, so we're going to give it a whirl. We've got 5 minutes. You might be able to do it.
Okay.
Here it goes. It's called Lines of Poetry and a Gentle Myth. Hi, Naomi.
Wonderful. Lovely title. I'll do my best, Naomi, not to stutter. No pressure. Like heaps of mismatched socks, lines of poetry lay sprawled across pieces of paper, scattered upon the living room table and littering the old beaten wood floor. My eyelids droop heavy with sleep, my every muscle giving into gravity, hanging limp like wet laundry on a cold, still day. I hug my coffee mug between ink-stained fingertips, its warmth seeping into my hands, spreading up my arms, brown rainbows arcing up and around the cup's rim, a sepia window enticing my smile to peek as my gaze dances in the smoky foam of tans and swirling curls of creams. Before my lips touch the satiny duvet and I breathe in the musky sweet aroma of dark roasted cocoa beans, sweetening my inner grumbling abyss. Then turning my face towards the light, blustering in through the curtains, humming the dewy grey in the feathered blues of a soft lullaby, My eyes grow wider, opening as those of a laughing child in the cool chill of fresh fallen snow that paints the lawns a new lamb white, wisping up a cheering new page for scampering tiny boots and mittened hands. And I press my pen once more to a blank sheet as the silvery mist hugs the quiet earth in the gentle cocoon of a lazy Sunday afternoon. End poem.
Great read.
Thank you. And your thoughts, please, Pam.
Yeah, that's wonderful.
Sorry. Go ahead, Pam.
Absolutely wonderful. Yeah, beautifully written. A great write on the lovely, lazy afternoon. And I like that it's a treat for the senses. You know, that it's got the holding the warm coffee mug between ink-stained fingertips. I thought that whole stanza was just amazing. And then the fluttering in through the turning my face towards the light, fluttering in through curtains, humming with a dewy gray and the feathery blues of a soft lullaby. You know, wonderful lines, taking in all those simple but yet beautiful moments that make a lazy afternoon just, you know, worth embracing. So very well done.
Thank you. Thank you, Pam. And Phil, your thoughts.
This was just fabulous piece by Naomi. Beautiful imagery throughout and wonderful lines. Each stanza I thought was fabulous. I have to say, I picked the second one. You know, I have my coffee cup between ink-stained fingertips. It's warm, seeping into my hands, spreading up my arms. Brown rainbows arcing up and around my cup's rim. I'm not going to read the rest of it because I want to leave time for you. But this is a beautiful piece, Naomi. As always, you have a beautiful way with words. And I love how they're always soft. Your words are delicate. So thanks for sharing. It's all yours.
Thank you. That was lovely, Naomi. It was a joy to read. That first stanza just epitomizes what trying to put words down on a screen or on paper does to your mind, especially if you're not feeling exactly, you know, 100%. It does tire you. It, you know, your brain hurts. Your eyelids droop heavy with sleep, every muscle giving into gravity. No, I totally agree. But then you have the high of your lovely hot cup of coffee and enjoying that. And then everything else that happens outside, which makes it, you know, a little scampering feet. So cute. So I'm sorry we don't have enough time to to wax lyrical because I really enjoyed it. So sorry that I'm having to hurry a little bit, but it was wonderful. And thank you so much for sharing. And back to you, Phil.
Okay. Well, I want to thank you, Weaver, for stepping up with me tonight. And Pam, I want to thank you for hanging with me all night. I know you have a busy week towards the end, but, you know, doing Wednesdays and Thursdays. I'm surprised I even ever see you on a Friday, but I always appreciate you. I want to thank you, Frank and Naomi and Jenny and, oh my gosh, my brain. Come on, I had a lapse here. Who else is on the board tonight? Everyone is on the board.
Yeah, Jenny and Jeremy as well, I think.
I didn't see Jeremy, but I believe he was here. Hello, Jeremy, mm-hmm. And goodbye, Jeremy, and thank you, Jeremy. I appreciate it very much. What a wonderful night of poetry. There were so many great pieces tonight and wonderful audios. And I appreciated every one of them. And thank you both again. And thank you, everyone, for sharing your comments and your poetry with all of us. It's excellent. So hopefully we'll do it again next week. We'll be here. Same time, same place.
Same time, same place. Different
Absolutely.
Words.
Absolutely. And thank you, everybody. And, what a great night. So thank you very much. And good night for now.
Thank you. And thank you.